Thank you very much, Alan. It's an honor to be here this morning. I do enjoy coming to California. Kind of turned it into a vacation with my five-year-old son. For those of you who have had an encounter with him, thank you in advance for your patience and understanding. Let me begin by thanking Ken Hobby, Jim Bruton, and their team at the Grains Council for the support and guidance they provide to USDA. We work very closely together on a host of issues that affect corn, sorghum, and barley exports. My appreciation, and certainly USDA's, extends to those of you who partner with us as we work to gain and expand market access for U.S. grains. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the importance of our programs in building overseas markets, our successful efforts in addressing technical and sanitary and phytosanitary barriers to trade, the latest about the administration's trade strategy, and other trade-related issues. But first, if I may, I'd like to take a moment to tell you a little bit about myself. And for those of you who are based in Washington and have heard this about a dozen times, I apologize in advance. But since some of you are new to this, I will give you a little just brief overview. And the bio's in your binder, so you know that much about me. Secretary Vilsack appointed me administrator of USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service about 4 months ago. And I'm very much at home at FAS, enjoying the work. And I think, as Alan mentioned, before I came to USDA, I served with the U.S. military and worked in various foreign affairs positions for the last 10 years, promoting post-conflict stability operations, economic development, and human rights. Most recently, I worked at the Coordinator for Reconstruction and Stabilization and worked on Iraq programs as well at DRL. And some of you might look at that bio and hear this and wonder, what's that got to do with agriculture and how did he get where he is? Let me assure you, being from Iowa, I do have a little bit of a background in agriculture. I spent part of my childhood growing up on my grandparents' farm, and my grandfather had two ag-related businesses. It's a little farm just outside of New London, Iowa, which is about 6 miles from Mount Pleasant, Iowa, where Secretary Vilsack was mayor in the 1980s, and that's how we made that connection. I've helped him politically as well. But my grandfather's businesses included a dairy implement business where he helped set up dairy parlors in Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. And he had a fertilizer business, and that fertilizer business was truly a family business. My mom and my dad would take their spring and their fall vacation and work full time during fertilizer season. My mom would drive the water truck, and my dad would drive one of the fertilizer trucks. And I got to ride along with them, and that was fun and great experience. And of course, when I got a little bit older, then I spent my own time in the corn and soybean fields doing summer detasseling and roguing. So I do have some background. I have an understanding of the importance of agriculture. It was crucial to our communities in Iowa. I certainly have an understanding of its relevance to FAS and the cooperators. So I'm delighted to be here and delighted to be in this role. So over the years, FAS has developed a solid partnership with the Grains Council. Your organization serves as a vital link between decision makers in Washington and producers and exporters throughout the nation, helping to keep both sides up to date on trade developments that affect U.S. grains. Maintaining and expanding export markets for your products depends on several factors, including our unique partnership and the resources made available by FAS's Export Credit Guarantee and Market Development Programs. During this time of slow global economic growth and tight credit, the GSM 102 program increases the ability of U.S. banks to give out loans, providing many countries with credit options they would not otherwise have. At the end of June, FAS announced an additional $1 billion for GSM 102 export credit guarantees for fiscal year 2009, bringing this year's total allocations to $5.4 billion. Of this total, GSM 102 allocations for export sales of grains have so far reached $1.4 billion this year. This is the most robust level for GSM 102 since 1991, so this has been a very good year for that program. FAS also allocated more than $15 million to the Grains Council through its market development programs, including the Market Access Program, MAP, and Foreign Market Development, FMD, program. As you know, these programs are part of a unique partnership between USDA and more than 70 industry trade organizations that have helped create, develop, and maintain export markets for a wide variety of U.S. food and agricultural products in nearly every corner of the world. Through the use of these programs, the Grains Council has demonstrated some notable successes. A recent trade impact study conducted by Informa Economics concluded that the Council's market development program was worth an estimated $659 million to U.S. farmers last year, or $37 in additional producer income for every $1 invested. That's a remarkable return on investment for any government program, and I think it bolsters the argument that these programs are stimulative and a very effective use of scarce government resources in these times of federal budget deficits. The study also highlighted the Council's role in successfully introducing a new product, Distillers Dried Grains, or DDGS, to U.S. export markets. The Grains Council and BBI International co-hosted a trade event last October in Indianapolis. With the support of an estimated $815,000 of MAP funds, more than 140 international participants attended. As a result, combined with continued ethanol production growth, DDGS exports are expected to exceed 2 million tons this marketing year. Two other long-term comprehensive technical assistance efforts also illustrate the Council's effective use of FAS's program funding, including your efforts for more than 10 years to commercialize Morocco's beef and dairy livestock sectors by introducing and modernizing commercial feedlot operations and feed grain technologies. As a result, U.S. corn sales to Morocco over this time period have increased an average of $21 million annually. With the help of FAS funding, the Council also took a prominent role in forming the Food and Agricultural Export Alliance, an alliance made up of five trade cooperators. Most recently, it is focused on sanitary and phytosanitary issues and food safety and regulatory capacity building in Vietnam. This alliance has been successful at conducting technical trainings and developing relationships with key Vietnamese ministry regulatory officials, as well as providing ongoing information, support, and assistance related to U.S. food and feed laws and regulations. I think these examples give you a flavor of how effective these programs have been. The valuable use of FAS funding by the Grains Council does have a positive impact on the U.S. grain industry. Recently, you may have heard that this administration's 2010 budget proposals to reduce annual funding level of MAP by $40 million as part of USDA's contribution to offset the growing federal deficit. The latest information indicates that MAP program's funds will, in fact, remain intact at current levels in fiscal year 2010. I want to assure you that FAS intends to comply fully with Congress's guidance and its intent in implementing the MAP program. Secretary Vilsack has continually reaffirmed USDA's commitment to trade and wants it to be known that we do not intend in any way to detract from the vital partnership we maintain with you as we pursue new presidential and secretarial initiatives. Indeed, we believe that such concerns such as food security, food safety, and climate change should also be of interest to you and are areas in which you can play a larger role. So please be assured that FAS is not only interested in helping you promote your products overseas, but willing to work with you on exciting new initiatives that will benefit others as well. FAS is also committed to helping you provide your overseas customers with the safest, highest quality U.S. grains available. This usually means having to address technical and SPS barriers to trade, as well as enhance the capacity of our trading partners to develop and implement WTO-mandated science-based standards. While most countries embrace the concept that science-based standards can lead to safer commodity production and trade facilitation, a few countries employ questionable SPS and technical requirements, which is why we must continue to work toward the elimination of trade-distorting inconsistencies in applying standards and SPS certification requirements. The Japanese corn aflatoxin issue is a solid example of how our collaborative efforts are leading to a workable trade solution with Japan, one of your most important trading partners. With U.S. origin corn frequently exceeding Japan's aflatoxin limit on arrival, U.S. grain supplies continually risk rejection. FAS, the Federal Grain Inspection Service, and the Agricultural Research Service are working closely with Japan's Ministry of Health to address their concerns on this matter. Once proposed mitigation measures are reviewed and accepted, our proposal should move rapidly through Japan's Food Safety Commission, which provides the ultimate decision on all food safety issues. Another issue of great importance to you is biotechnology. While we have already achieved much in terms of shaping the global discussion on the safety of this new technology's application in agriculture, we must continue to advance acceptance of technology-enhanced commodities in key markets through the mitigation of obtuse biotechnology-related barriers to trade. And I can say personally, on a personal note, you have no better friend in Secretary Vilsack on this issue. He is a strong proponent of biotechnology in the international arena. For example, in May 2008, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare ceased testing for Starlink in imported food corn. In December 2008, the U.S. government and Japan entered into a protocol with the industry that established risk management practices that will permit the phasing out of testing feed shipments. Under this protocol, the Japanese Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries is expected to discontinue testing for Starlink, BT-10, and E-32 in the near future. While we have achieved a successful result in the WTO case with the European Union, we are increasingly frustrated with the slow pace of biotech approvals and multiplying member state bans. We will continue to work with the EU to normalize trade for all corn products produced with biotechnology while we consider all of our options. Secretary Vilsack just met with the German Minister of Agriculture a few months ago and pushed her on this very issue. We will continue to focus our efforts within international organizations and standard-setting bodies and work with like-minded countries to ensure that decisions made under the Cartagena Protocol for Biosafety do not restrict trade. Within CODEX, the U.S. government successfully pushed for the development and adoption of international guidelines for the food safety assessment of incidents of low-level presence. We need to continue outreach efforts on these guidelines and other efforts to minimize trade impacts as a result of these incidents. We will continue to use the tools at our disposal to break down trade barriers. There will often be expedient and productive ways to work things out through direct dialogue or formal consultations in the World Trade Organization. But when it becomes necessary, we can employ litigation in the WTO as well. Stepping up trade enforcement and monitoring is about maintaining our rights and ensuring that markets remain open. Strengthening the rules-based system through the WTO will restore confidence in trade and boost trade for the long term. While we have made great strides in addressing technical and SPS barriers to trade, we must also continue to promote a trade environment that ensures U.S. grains can compete globally on a level playing field. One way to do this is to have an effective trade agenda in place. The Obama administration is rethinking the way we currently approach trade. Rather than go along the same path we followed before, we need a robust, progressive, responsible trade agenda that can help our producers and help this country fight its way out of the current economic crisis. So the administration is looking at everything, and we welcome your input. When it's time to strike new trade deals, we'll seek ones that will deliver meaningful new benefits to U.S. producers, farmers, and ranchers. We're also opening up the process itself, doing thorough reviews and making sure Congress and the public have access to better information about our trade efforts. We will work with the U.S. Trade Representative's Office and Congress to assess trade agreements and actions on their individual merits, and also as part of our much larger strategy for long-term economic recovery and renewal. Communication and transparency in the policymaking process will help us to conclude trade deals that will not only win support when Congress votes, but as we implement trade commitments for years to come. Also part of the administration's trade strategy is to continue working to achieve further global trade liberalization under WTO's Doha Round, which is in the clear interests of U.S. agriculture and more broadly the global economy. Since 2001, 153 WTO members have struggled, so far unsuccessfully, to reach a conclusion to the Doha talks. The complexities are immense, but so are the opportunities and the stakes are high. The WTO says global trade will fall by 9% this year, which has us on a pace for the biggest drop since World War II. That's one reason why we must remain committed to Doha's successful conclusion. The United States is closely reviewing the Doha round to determine how best to bring it to a successful conclusion. Our goal remains the same, to see the mission of the round fulfilled through the creation of new economic opportunities and a major contribution to global development and growth. For you, that means new meaningful market access opportunities. It means a clearer picture of what we get as well as what we're expected to give. It means a balanced and ambitious outcome that yields meaningful new trade flows for all. Getting there will require ideas and input from all of us about how to put Doha on a straighter path to a successful outcome, one that provides an ambitious and balanced result for U.S. agriculture. The world's trading countries want a Doha agreement. We want a strong framework for the future of global trade. And we want an agreement that takes the global terms of trade beyond the current status quo one that will provide benefits for years to come. In addition to pursuing a successful conclusion to the Doha round, we need to continue to achieve meaningful market access through the negotiation of free trade agreements. Regional trade agreements, such as the CAFTA-DR, have been beneficial to the U.S. grains industry. In 2008, the U.S. corn, barley, and sorghum exports to CAFTA-DR countries reached more than $775 million, compared to over $344 million in 2005 before the agreement. This past February, the Peru Free Trade Agreement was fully implemented. Before this agreement, less than 2% of U.S. agricultural exports enjoyed duty-free access to Peru. In 2008, U.S. exporters shipped $42 million of corn to Peru, compared to just $20 million back in 2005. We also believe there is strong bipartisan support for the pending free trade agreement to Panama, where U.S. corn exports grew from nearly $60 million in 2006 to $91 million last year. This is in spite of Panama's tariffs on grains, which can be as high as 90%. Under this trade agreement, Panama will establish a nearly 300,000-ton duty-free preferential tariff rate quota for corn that will grow at a rate of 3% annually. Sorghum will receive duty-free treatment in 5 years, and barley will receive duty-free treatment immediately. Regarding our Colombia agreement, President Obama recently instructed USTR to lead a review to deal with some outstanding issues there. Under this agreement, Colombia will provide immediate duty-free access for yellow corn through a 2.1 million ton tariff rate quota with 5% annual growth, and for white corn, immediate duty-free access through a 136,500-ton TRQ with 5% annual growth. And we are continuing our dialogue on issues related to the pending Korea Free Trade Agreement. With this agreement, tariffs on U.S. corn feed imports will be locked in at zero. In the first year of the agreement, the United States will be able to export 9,000 tons of unroasted malt and malting barley into Korea duty-free. This 9,000 tons duty-free quota grows 2% each year through year 2015, through the 15th year of the agreement, at which time all U.S. shipments of malt and malting barley will enter duty-free. This provides you with a 10% tariff advantage over our competitors for malt and 20% for malting barley. Clearly, all of these examples show that trade agreements can and do deliver meaningful benefits to U.S. agriculture. Before I close, I'd like to share a message with you this morning, one that I'm sharing with all our trade organizations. While we continue to face the challenges of worldwide economic crisis and a growing federal budget deficit, I cannot stress enough the need for our cooperators to remain inclusive, closely coordinated, and unified. We cannot afford to have our partners splinter as a result of conflicting efforts. I realize that this issue may not necessarily apply to your particular association, but it is a message that we are delivering to all of our industry partners. We are also stressing the need for all of our cooperator partners to continue to improve communication with us so that we can do the best that we can to represent your association as our partner. It is critical for you to keep us well informed of your interactions with other parts of USDA and our overseas posts and others. In conclusion, I'd like to say that when each of us looks back over the past several years of USDA's and the Grain Council's ongoing efforts to win square deals for U.S. grains, it strikes me that honestly much has been accomplished. But I believe there are greater opportunities out there for American exporters to capture an even larger part of the global market. And USDA wants to work with you to make that happen. Thank you.